Because when I'm talking about this, I'm not just talking about people that are standing at the front, people that are in so-called these visible ministry positions. I'm talking about you, every one of us, that we can be moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can in our everyday lives start to experience the reality of God in our lives, but also to pass that on to those who are around us. Because we have a powerful God, don't we? We don't have a God that just sits there and with his hands folded and not doing anything, and we just struggle along in life by ourselves. But he is so active in our life, isn't he? And people need to know that God can be active in their life too, and that we just want to release more and more of the things that God is doing in his reality and his power, especially those that are around us. Okay, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians 2. And I'm going to start with verse 6 and just read through a little bit there. It says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are," now some of you know this, say it with me, "for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God prepared something for you to do, something for me to do. And each of us has a different job. Because you see, I don't live beside your neighbor, but you do. I don't work beside the person that sits in the desk beside you. You do. And each one of us, God has placed us strategically for what he wants us to do. He says he's prepared it all in advance for us to do. Good works. Kingdom works. What are kingdom works? Well, what is a kingdom, first of all? Who can tell me what a kingdom is? Yeah, that's the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of God. What is any kind of kingdom? If there was a king over a country, a seat of power, yeah, what else? What do they do if they're in power? They lead, they rule that place, right? And we are from a kingdom of God, as you're talking about, one of righteousness, one of love, one of power. There's a kingdom of love that God wants to just spread throughout this whole world. And he wants to do that through you and me. He wants people in this hurting, broken world to know how much God loves them and to come into his kingdom. We're rescuers, aren't we? It's like there are people who have been held in bondage by the enemy, by Satan, and they are so in bondage, and they need to be rescued. So that's what's going to compel us, is our love for people, isn't it? To go into behind enemy lines, to go and find those prisoners in the prison camps, to set them free and bring them across the line into the kingdom of love. It's a kingdom that's ruled by a God of love, isn't it? Where there's wonderful freedom, there's wonderful joy, wonderful righteousness. Just God wants to bring that kingdom down here to earth, doesn't he? His kingdom of love. And he's going to spread it through you and me. Well, we can't do that by ourselves, can we? Sometimes don't you feel a little helpless sometimes to do that? You feel, I'm just me. I'm just a little old nobody. I can't do those kinds of things. I can't bring the kingdom to earth. And yet he wants to do it through you and me. But he hasn't left us on our own. He's left us with his authority and his power to do it with. So that's what we want to talk about, is how we can move in his power and the authority that he's given to us to bring that kingdom of love to the neighbors and everyone that's all around us. That good work that he's created you to do, not me, he created you to do it. And you don't have to earn it. That's why I read the verses before that as well. It said it's not through our works, so we can't boast. And it's not by anything that we do. Instead, it says it's by his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. In other words, what Jesus did on the cross, because he canceled the power of sin and death over us, and that was his kindness to us. Now we can express that kindness to those that are around us as well. Not because we earned it, not because we're perfect, not because we do everything right. It's not because of that, but we can do it because of what Jesus did for us already. Right? So we want to learn how to do that and bring his kingdom to the earth. Okay. Well, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 4 says, I did not come with persuasive words, but in the power of God. Again, we've got a powerful God, don't we? A great big God, so powerful. And he wants to flow through you with his power. Well, it starts with faith. I mean, doesn't everything really start with faith in our Christian life, right? It says it only takes a little mustard seed of faith. But if you come to Jesus and receive him, it starts with a little bit of faith. See, we had good news that we shared this week about our little grandson Jack being born. Yay. I'm so happy about that. Yay. But we also have some other incredible news this week. And that is Jeremy's mother became a Christian this week. Did you know that, Greg? You know Jeremy's mom. Yeah. I mean, at 84 years old, it's never too late, right? She's been fighting against God all her life. Oh, I tell you. And you get angry if we talked about God. But now she's actually really not well. She has lung cancer. She's really, really not well at all. But now it's funny. She's saying, I surrender. I surrender are her words. And really then she shared what happened. And she's, because we've been praying that God would really show his reality to her. And we were praying and had other people praying too that he would really visit her in the night, because I know she was afraid in the night. You know, when you're really ill and she knows that death is coming very soon. In the night when it's so dark, she gets afraid. She's been telling us that as she wakes up in the night. Well, one night this week, she woke up and it was really, really dark. Pitch black, she says, in the room. And all of a sudden there was a bright light. And this bright light, as she's looking at it, gradually started to fade until it disappeared. And I said to her, what do you think that was? And she kind of smiled, said it was something supernatural, wasn't it? And she nodded, said, maybe it was an angel. And she just smiled again. It's like God broke through for her. It's the kingdom of God breaking through in this earth. He breaks through in many different ways. But for her, this is the way he broke through for her. And then she says, I surrender. I surrender. And so she's given her life to Jesus this week. So it's like, whoa, the kingdom of God has come to her this week. I'm so excited. We are so excited. That changes everything now for her and for us. Knowing, as I said, that she really is very close to death right now. Knowing where she's going to go after this now, knowing that she's now going to, she has received the Father so the Father can receive her. And so it's just so exciting for us that she's done that. Whoa, that's kingdom of God coming. Well, it starts with faith, doesn't it? And actually, Jeremy, his first question to her was, he said, you've actually believed in God all your life, haven't you, in your heart? And she finally admitted, you know, in my heart, yeah, I have. Even though she's fighting against him all her life and trying to deny him or deny his existence. But now, you know, it took a little bit of faith, that little bit of faith, she stepped out then and said, okay, I surrender. Everything in our Christian faith starts with a little bit of faith, doesn't it? You know, you need to receive a healing in your physical body. And we've seen amazing miracles, haven't we? It starts with just a little tiny mustard seed of faith to ask. As the scripture says, that you have not because you ask not. Just to take out that little step and say, okay, I ask and I choose to receive from you. And we ask for him to come and to come and live inside us. That starts with faith, doesn't it? I mean, to admit, first of all, that we need God. And then second of all, to ask him and say, okay, I receive you. And then he comes, he says he comes and he lives inside us. He's so close to us all the time from that point on that he's living right inside us. No matter where we go, no matter what we're doing, he is so close, he's inside us. Wow. Wow. But it starts with that little bit of faith, a little mustard seed of faith. I said with that for physical healing, and you ask and you pray for someone. It only takes a little bit of faith, but it takes faith, doesn't it? So we want to take those steps of faith with him. Well, everything, like bringing the kingdom of God and the power of the kingdom to the earth starts by faith. We have to, first of all, believe that he does that. You know, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, for anyone who comes to God must, first of all, believe that he exists. That takes faith, right? First of all, believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We have to believe that. It's taking a step of faith that he is going to reward you. And that's what I've seen so often is when we take that step of faith, then God will reward us by showing us his reality. But he requires that faith, first of all, doesn't he? And bringing that kingdom and the power of God comes out of a place of intimacy first. Like, first of all, we've got, I know many, many people have come to our church because they've heard that God is doing some powerful things. And people are coming and say, yeah, I want the power. I want the power of God. I want to see miracles. Anybody want to see miracles? Powerful things happening? Yeah, we do. But if we are desiring the power without intimate relationship with God, what are we going to do with the power? You know, we're going to end up destroying ourselves or someone else around us. It's just going to blow up on us. He doesn't want to give his power to those that he's not intimately connected with. When Jesus was on the earth, who did he give his power to? The disciples. The ones he spent 3.5 years with first. Right? He didn't give them the power until he'd spent 3.5 years with them, where they got to know him, got to hear his heart, got to understand his value system, which is a little different than the world's. And he preached about the kingdom, didn't he? And he said, it's all about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something like this. The kingdom of God is something like this. The kingdom of God is near you. The kingdom of God's at hand. The kingdom of God's within you. Telling them all about the kingdom. And that's what he said to the disciples too. Preach the kingdom of God. Bring the kingdom of God to this earth. The power of the kingdom, the king, he is now the King of Kings, Jesus, and to bring that to earth. That's the commission he's given to his disciples. And if you've asked Jesus to come into your life, just like Jeremy's mom did this week, then you know that you are one of his disciples that can bring the kingdom of God to this earth. That it's going to come, first of all, out of that place of intimate relationship. So as you get to hear the heart of the Father, you get to know him, you get to know what he's like, you get to know his character, you start to experience his love, that's then what you're going to give away, isn't it? That love that we're talking about this year is the love that compels us. It's his love for us that compels us to love others, isn't it? Okay, so let's talk about how we can come into experiencing more of that, the power of the kingdom, how we can receive more. So first of all, starts from that intimate place of knowing him. And I'm going to look, first of all, at some things in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they especially used the symbol of oil. Whenever oil is mentioned in the Bible, oil always represents the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about, first of all, that anointing by oil in the Old Testament right through into the New Testament. Because there's something there for us to receive that anointing, to receive that empowering so that we can move in power and anointing rather than us doing it by works or by flesh. We want to do it in his anointing instead. So in the Old Testament, oil was applied to people only just to consecrate them, to consecrate people or things and set them apart as holy for the Lord's purposes. Now in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit wasn't available to everybody. Now it's available for all believers. We all have the Holy Spirit, don't we? Jesus released the Holy Spirit for all of us. But in the Old Testament, it was only a handful of people, just specific people for specific reasons, that they received that anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit on their life. So oil was actually applied to people or poured on people to consecrate them. One example is Exodus 30, verses 23 to 33. And so when Samuel anointed Saul as king, that's one time that they would anoint people. When someone was going to be king. Saul was the first king of Israel. Samuel the prophet anointed him with oil. And when that happened, then Samuel said to him, now, when you leave this place, you're going to go to such and such a place, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and you're going to end up coming down a hill, and when you do, there's going to be a whole group of prophets from the school of the prophets that are going to come down that hill prophesying with their musical instruments. Mikey, you are prophesying again today with that musical instrument. And there's an anointing of the Holy Spirit that flows through, right, in the musical instruments. And Samuel the prophet had told him, when you come down the hill, that's going to happen to you. And then when that happens, the Holy Spirit's going to land upon you, and you are going to be changed into a different person. That's what it says in 1 Samuel 10, verse 9. That's exactly what happened. See, Saul was out, and he actually was he was looking for his father's donkeys. And his father sent him out to go find them. And he went, and he came across every situation that Samuel told him he was going to come across. And sure enough, when he came down that hill, he met the group of prophets, prophesying with their instruments, and the Holy Spirit landed on him. But he was anointed with oil first by Samuel. Then Samuel gave him the prophetic word, and it happened just like he said, and then the Holy Spirit fell on him at a later time. Well, King David, he was the next king to fall after Saul. He was anointed by Samuel as well, wasn't he? Right? Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Saul's anointing or David's anointing? If you'd rather have Saul's anointing, raise your hand. No takers, okay? How many would rather have David's anointing? Oops, I asked a trick question. It's the same anointing. Samuel was the one who anointed him with oil, and he was set apart for God's purpose. Same anointing. But it was what they did with it that was different, right? What are we going to do with the anointing that God gives to us? What are we going to do with that gifting that he's placed in your life? You know, what are we going to do with that? It depends on us and on our character. See, God's looking for people with integrity, someone who will value that anointing, treasure it as something very special, someone who will ask the Lord, how do you want me to use this anointing? I only want to do it the way you want me to do it, Lord, not to gain any recognition for myself, but in order to bring about God's kingdom here on earth, to do what he wants us to do here on earth. Isn't that right? He wants to search our hearts. God's interested in our hearts and the attitude of our heart. So we want to receive it from him, but for the right reason. Okay, so on with it. Pass the trick question. Okay, but when David was anointed, this is 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, right at the very moment that David was anointed, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. Okay, so there's something that happened with the anointing. That oil represented, as I said, the Holy Spirit. See, many things in the natural here represent something in the supernatural, don't they? And we've got so many things. I mean, we take communion, we have, you know, celebrations, and baptism, and all those different things that are symbols on the earth, physical things that represent a spiritual reality. And that's what oil is, again, is it's representing something that's going on in the spiritual realm. When that oil was applied, then in the spiritual, what happened is the Holy Spirit was applied. All right, so there's a direct correlation with the Holy Spirit coming. Now, even Isaiah verse 61, verse 1, that's Isaiah. Isaiah said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Okay, it was upon him, it came upon him, because the Lord had anointed him. It was a direct infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit. When he got an anointing, it's the Holy Spirit that is the anointing, isn't it? It's the empowering by the Holy Spirit that comes upon you, it said. And in the New Testament, this is the New Testament meaning of anointing. It's the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You know, I find it amazing that even Jesus waited until he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. I mean, do you think he had the Holy Spirit living inside him from the time that he was born? Or even when he was first conceived in the womb? Yeah, he must have, right? He was God. The Holy Spirit was living inside him. However, even Jesus waited until the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon him. Isn't that fascinating? Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses to show you that. In Matthew 3, 16 and 17, this is when he was baptized by John. It says, heaven was open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And also if you look in Luke 4, verse 14, it tells us that after Jesus was baptized, which is when that Spirit came upon him, it says, then he went out in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Again, it's like he received a direct infusion of power by the Holy Spirit. So yeah, he was God, but even from the time he was a little child, he had not received that anointing and empowering to go out and minister yet until he was baptized by John. He went out then in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And then Jesus then quoted Isaiah 61 verse 1 to say that God had anointed him Just like Isaiah, he had received an anointing that came upon him. God had anointed him to preach the sick and heal, to preach the gospel and heal the sick. So that brings together the term of anointing, meaning that applied power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, verse 38, again, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing. Wow. Well, Jesus needs that anointing, so do we, right? Yeah. And you see how when Jesus received that anointing and that empowering by the Holy Spirit, then he went out in the power of God and did miracles. And he sent out his disciples to do the same kinds of miracles, didn't he? Said they spent 3.5 years with him first. So, and then John the Baptist, when he baptized Jesus, said that Jesus was going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You got the fire of the Holy Spirit on you? There's power, isn't there, in the Holy Spirit? So Jesus then received the empowering by the Holy Spirit, but then he started to give it away. I love the fact it's so transferable, isn't it? I'll talk about that a little bit more. But first of all, he gave that away to the disciples, the 12 disciples. Luke 9, verse 1, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power. In the Greek, it says dunamis. There's dunamis power. And gave them authority, exousia, to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He gave it to them. Can you imagine what that looked like? When Jesus gave it to them? I wonder what it looked like when they got blasted with the power of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. I mean, but sometimes when the Holy Spirit lands us, you know, things happen and we wonder, well, why is that person even shaking? Why is that person responding like that? Well, John Arnott always says, it's amazing when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us that we even live through it. No wonder our bodies sometimes react to it. His power that is flowing through us. Wow. So the disciples were given the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority to release it. To bring the kingdom of God into the life of situations that are all around them that they came to minister to. Now I'm going to talk about authority just for a second. If when you came into church today, if there is a policeman standing at the corner directing traffic, I didn't see a policeman out there. Instead, I just saw Joe out there putting the sign out there for church. But you know, sometimes you know there might be a policeman out there directing traffic. Well, if there is a policeman and he's holding up his hand, what about if a person came with this huge Mack truck? Would they stop if the policeman put up his hand to stop? Well, just think about it. He's only one little man standing in the middle of the road, and this huge Mack truck is pretty powerful, isn't it? Couldn't it just run him over? But why does the truck stop? He's got authority. What would happen if he didn't stop, besides the fact he'd run over the policeman? What else would happen? He'd go to jail or get a ticket or something pretty massive, wouldn't he? Especially running over a policeman, if he disobeyed a policeman. Why? Because that policeman has the whole legal system behind him, doesn't he? Well, when Jesus was asked by a centurion one time, he said he wanted him to heal his servant who was sick. This is a Roman centurion. He wasn't even one of the Israelites. And Jesus said, okay, I will come. He said, no, you don't have to come. He said, I understand authority. I am a man under authority, and I have people in authority under me. And he said, when I tell my servant just to go and do this, he does it. So, you know, you don't have to come. You just speak the word and it'll be done. Jesus says, whoa, I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. Here was a Roman centurion that won the prize for the greatest amount of faith. You know, what was his faith? His faith was in the authority that God had, that Jesus had. And then he understood that Jesus had authority and he speaks the word, it's going to happen. Now that, if Jesus gives you authority, do you have that kind of confidence? Just like that. You know, that's what faith is, to say, yeah, God has given me authority to take this power that he's given to me and to release the power and authority of the kingdom. So when I say to someone, be healed in the name of Jesus, you know, am I being presumptuous by saying, you can't tell God what to do, tell him to heal him, can you? But, you see, if Jesus said to me, and he has, he sent us all out as his disciples, and he said, go heal the sick. What else did he tell us to do? Lay hands on the sick, yeah. Preach the gospel. Yeah, I mean, the broken heart. Cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Oops, did you do that one yet? I haven't yet, but I want to do that one. Do you? just think about it. When Jesus sent those people out, the disciples, he had 12 disciples that he sent them out first, and then he sent out 72 others. These are beginners. They've never been sent out before, and this is the list of five things he gave them to do, and one of them is including raising the dead. The beginner's list. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So he's sending us out to bring the kingdom of God to this earth. And those are the things he asked us to do. He's given that to you and to me, hasn't he? He says, I give you the power and I give you the authority to do it. So when we command healing, it's not because we're being presumptuous. It's because he told you to do it. And my commander tells me to do it, then I'm going to do it. That's right. That's the authority that he's given to us. Just like that policeman, right? We might be just a little old person and think, oh, but the enemy is so powerful. Sickness is so powerful. All those things are so... Well, he's given you authority. It's not you. You have his whole kingdom system behind you, backing you up, because you're doing what he's asked you to do. That's the difference. So when Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, what does it say? Let's quote it. It says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we start it with worship. I love it when we start our services with worship, right? We're giving him all our worship, giving all the credit that's due to him. So we say, hallowed be thy name. Let's keep going. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? His kingdom come to earth. And the same thing that happens in heaven will come to earth. Did you know that that verse is written in the imperative form? It's a command. He said, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. I want you to give this command and say, kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done on earth the same as it is in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. Well, I said, then bring it down to earth. We're bringing the kingdom of God to this earth. That kingdom of love. Bringing to the hurting and the lost and the broken. Whether they need healing in their heart, healing in their body, healing spiritually. They need healing. We want to bring the power of the kingdom. And Jesus has given us the commission to do it. See, again, if you understand authority like that, that changes how you pray, doesn't it? When you pray for people. See, we're not pleading with God anymore. We're saying, please, please, God. Oh, will you please get my kids? They're so disobedient. You know, pleading with God isn't faith, is it? No, he says, kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done. They'd like, come and release your empowerment in my situation, in the situation of my neighbor. Kingdom of God, come. And miracles happen when we believe that and when we act in that. Do you know this is one of the biggest keys we've found in healing the sick at our church? That once we started to pray, what we call that prayer of command, like Jesus told us to do, kingdom come, we have seen a dramatic increase in the number of healings that there are. It's like Jesus is saying, finally you're getting it. Like the Roman centurion, you finally have faith and you're giving that, you know, the prayer of command and bringing heaven down to earth. Wow, that does change how we do it, doesn't it? And then Jesus said to the disciples, he said, you're going to do the same works that I did and even greater things. Well, partly because there's a lot more of us, right? But the kingdom of God is advancing. The power of the kingdom is increasing in these days. There's a multiplication, impartation, a multiplication of the power of the kingdom as well and the things that are done for the kingdom. Now, when we ask Jesus into our lives, have you asked Jesus into your life? I hope you have. If you haven't, then come and talk to one of us afterwards and we can gladly pray that for you. Just to ask Jesus to come and become resident in your life. As I said, he comes and lives inside us. He's that close to us. We start to have a real relationship, close relationship, because he said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. He promises it. And so we can ask him to come in and be so close to us and be a part of our everyday life. He'll come and live inside us. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside us. He abides in us right at that moment that we ask Jesus to come in. And 1 John 2, verse 20 and 27 says that all of us as believers, if we are believers and have asked Jesus in, we have an anointing already that's received from him who abides in us. He lives in us, which not only teaches us Because that, as the Holy Spirit is there, he's our teacher, isn't he? He shows us things, gives us wisdom and revelation, and starts to understand things of God. He teaches us, but it also brings us in that close contact with him as we abide in him. We live in him and he lives in us. That oneness we have now with him. So the Holy Spirit already living inside us if we've received him. But then there's also an anointing that comes upon us. And we actually also get baptized in the Holy Spirit or immersed in the Holy Spirit. So he lives in us and he's in us and we're in him. See that? He lives in us and we're in him. We're that close again to him. 1 Corinthians 12:13 talks about that. A picture of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, immersed in or soaked in the Holy Spirit. He's living water too. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit being like living water. Now, first of all, he talks about them too as being, the Holy Spirit as being a person, doesn't he? A wonderful, loving person. If you read Galatians 5, you read about all the different characteristics of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness. All those things are the character, the quality of the Holy Spirit. And he's described by Jesus in John 14, verse 16, verse 17, verse 26. He says, you'll know him for he dwells with you and will be in you, the helper, the Holy Spirit. He's a wonderful person that we have relationship with. But at the same time, if you notice in the scriptures, not only is he described in terms of being a person, but the Holy Spirit's described in terms of being like a pourable substance, you know, like water. You know, if I pour it, and I do need to take a drink, so I'll demonstrate, right? So it's like water you can pour, or oil, or wine. All of them are pourable substances. Joel chapter 2, verse 20 talks about the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon us, doesn't it? And it's, I mean, that's different than the kind of person we think of, right? When we think of a person, we think of them in a body, in a stationary position. Well, the Holy Spirit apparently is something like a pourable substance that can be poured out. Like what? Like wind as well, yes, that we can feel the effects of it, right? Very, very fluid, very, you know, all over the place, isn't he? And so the pourable substance, Jesus particularly talked about the as a pourable substance as water in particular. Remember the woman at the well? And he said to her, well, I'm going to give you water to drink. He said, but the water I give you to drink will be different because it's going to be become like a well or spring of living water springing up unto life, right? You get so full of living water. In other words, it'll be like a fountain just welling up and spilling out on everybody else that's around you. So we have to get filled and filled by the Holy Spirit so we get that full. And then also Jesus in chapter 7 of John, verse 37, 38, he says that as we drink of living water, so what do you do when you drink? Just think about it for a second. What do you have to do to drink? You know, first you've got your water. Yeah, you have to receive it. So I have to open my mouth, right? And I have to pour it down, and then I have to swallow it, and it goes right down into my middle of my being, doesn't it? Well, see, that again is something in the physical that's just describing what's going on in the spiritual, in the supernatural. That when I drink of the Holy Spirit, it's like I have to open my mouth to receive. I have to let it go inside me, and I have to let it fill me up. So you have to actually partake of it. It's not something that's going to be there unless you ask for it and you open your mouth and receive. And then Jesus said that when that would happen, that when we drank of living water, not only would it be that fountain of living water springing up from within us, but he says then from out of our hearts will flow out from us that living water, that Holy Spirit, again, representing the Holy Spirit. So again, let's think about this for a second. First, the Holy Spirit is in us, but we're also immersed in or baptized and soaked and drenched in the Holy Spirit. But then the Holy Spirit comes upon us. There's an anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us, fills us up so that it becomes like wells of spring water spring out in everyone that's around us. And that well of living water will come out from you, from your heart. And that will come out on everyone that's around you. I wonder why from your heart. God changes our heart, yeah. And again, our theme, love compels. You know, when you are so overflowing in the love of God in your heart, It compels you. It flows out from you to everyone that surrounds you. That's why we want to bring the kingdom of God to them, because we love them, right? Not because we just think that we're right and everybody else is wrong. It's not what it's about, right? It's because we know that we've found the true king, the kingdom of love, and we want that hurting, broken people to come and experience the love of God, don't we? And so that love will flow out from us as the Holy Spirit flows out from us and touches those that are all around us. So the Holy Spirit moves and flows like that. So the anointing of the Holy Spirit then has to do with the flow of supernatural power. Well, do you remember the story about the woman with the issue of blood? All right, she thought, well, if I only touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And so she pressed through the crowds. Did you know that a Jewish woman that had a condition like hers wasn't even allowed to be in a crowd? She was supposed to be in isolation. And she pressed through anyway and just said, I know if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And then Jesus all of a sudden stopped and said, who touched me? And the disciples are saying, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you. There's crowds milling all around you. They're all shoving and pushing. They're touching you. He said, no. I felt power going out from me. Well, I wonder what that felt like. He felt it. Have any of you ever felt power going out from you? What did it feel like? It was like an explosion. Anybody else, if you felt that power, what did it feel like? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you felt like a conduit of it, where something came into you and out from you, right? Yeah, it flowed out. Yeah. How many of you felt it like sometimes like electricity? Raise your hand if you felt that electricity. A number of people have, yeah. And what that current of electricity is like, right? It goes down that line so fast, right? That electrical line. And sometimes it's like that, like an electrical current or something. But that flow, regardless, that's what Jesus felt. He felt it go out from him and touch that person. Well, what was it that triggered that power? Her faith did, because then Jesus said it's her faith that made her well. Because there are lots of other people touching him, and maybe even some of them were sick. But she touched, and it was her faith that triggered it and triggered a release of the Holy Spirit. Well, we already live in the supernatural realm, don't we? Do you live in the supernatural realm? Do you have a spirit? If you have a spirit, you're already living in the supernatural realm, in that spiritual realm, right? If everything disappeared right now of the physical realm, would you still be right there? Yeah, your spirit would be, wouldn't it? We already live in that spiritual realm. And we are starting to experience more of that supernatural realm all the time, aren't we? We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, it says in Ephesians 1:20. And the one that I already read, the one where it says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, it says it's because we are seated with him in heavenly places. See, when Jesus died and was buried and raised from the dead, he went and he then was ascended to the right hand of the Father, wasn't he? In heavenly realm. That place of all power and all authority is also the place where he says that we are also raised up there with him. And we are now seated with him. We are in a place of spiritual authority because we are right there with him. So we now can become co-laborers with Christ to bring the kingdom, rule, and reign down to this earth. He's given us that authority, and he's anointed us with the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. Well, the Holy Spirit is a very powerful force then, isn't it? But it's not just a powerful force that we can use and do whatever we want with, is it? But more, it's like he uses us, doesn't he? To do the things that he wants to have done. If you give him permission to flow through you, that he will then do his work that he wants to do through each one of us. And it comes out of that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, I said, in order to know what he wants us to do. Well, I'm going to talk about some principles of that anointing, and particularly I'm going to take it from the story of Elisha and Elijah. If you remember those, the two prophets, who came first? Elijah was first, and then Elisha came after him. Now, something that happened, and there are many, many things. If you read about Elijah, and especially the story of Elisha, you'll find there are a lot of principles about the anointing that we can actually learn from. And so I'm going to talk about just a couple of them in particular. But first of all, if you have a call over your life, if God has given you a particular gifting in your life, and if he has said that he's given you particular work to do on this earth, to bring good works to this earth, and to do good things in his name, if he's called you, he's also gifted you and anointed you to do it, hasn't he? See, that gifting that he's given you is God's favor over you, isn't it? He's given favor over you, an anointing. And if when you start to do the things that you know you were created for, you were made for that, then you will have a great anointing in it because he's called you to do it. He will give you the power to do what he's asked you to do, in other words. Not going to give you work without giving you the power to do it with. And so the anointing, first of all, comes by a call, something in your heart that you know. Do you have a dream? Do you have something, a vision, something God's called you to do? I hope you do. If not, we can always pray for you afterwards that God is going to give you a dream of the things that God's put in your heart to do, a desire that he puts there. He will give you a call. There'll be call over your life. And then by that call, that it's like that stirring in your spirit about that particular thing, isn't it? And then after that, he'll confirm that call. So with Elisha and Elijah, what happened is Elisha was actually out plowing his father's field. And Elijah came along, and he threw a mantle over Elisha's shoulders. In other words, he's saying, this is an anointing, a calling over your life to be a prophet like me. Will you follow me? And he immediately dropped everything, and he answered that call, didn't he? He must have already known in his heart, had his feeling, just a desire and a stirring in his heart that was now confirmed by something that happened externally that he had no control over. God will confirm over your life the things that you are called to do. And so when Elisha left, what he did is he actually took the oxen, he killed, slaughtered the oxen, and then he even took the yoke that was over the oxen, and he burned it in order to cook the meat over it. And then he gave the meat away to everybody in the village and fed everybody. Now, what the principle there is just that when you respond to the call of God in your life, often it will require sacrifice. There might be something you have to give up. Maybe there's something you have to let go of. Maybe you've even sensed that you've sensed, I think that God is calling me to something, but I think it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me. It will. It will cost us. And what happened with Elisha is he actually sacrificed his very livelihood. I mean, he was taking a big step of faith, wasn't it? That was risky. He knew it was going to cost him something. He gave everything he had and burned that oxen up so he couldn't ever go back on it. And burned the bridges behind him, so to speak, in order to say, I'm going to sacrifice in order to step into things that God has called me to. That's 1 Kings 19, verse 21. Now, with Peter, James, and John, what did they sacrifice? Yeah, what did they do before they met Jesus? They're fishermen. So they had to leave their fishing nets, leave their livelihood behind as well, didn't they? Their boats and their fishing, and went to go fish men instead. And to be with Jesus and to follow him as a disciple. That's what it cost them. Paul, in the epistles, he said that he counted as loss what he had previously counted as gain, he now counted as loss in order that he may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of him. That's Philippians 3:12. He gave up everything in order to gain everything. Everything he had, knowing what he had was really nothing compared to what he was going to gain when he gave it up for Christ. And then he said the suffering that he endured, because he did endure suffering, didn't he? You know, shipwrecks and, you know, all kinds of things that happened to him, prison, so that others could have life. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 10 to 12. So the anointing that's over you isn't so that it'll elevate you or make you look more important, or, you know, give you that more visibility or any of those things. The anointing that's upon you is not to give you recognition. It's for others. It's in order to bless others. And you might have to die in the process. In fact, we do, don't we? We end up dying sometimes to our own desires, our own comforts, our own whatever. In order to bless others, sometimes you have to sacrifice and give up, don't you? So we die to self in order to give away to others. Jesus said he gave up everything and became poor so that we could be rich. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Now, another principle is, after we respond to that call, another principle is to follow a mentor. Now, that doesn't mean come along and say to someone, will you be my mentor? And then expect that mentor to give you lots and to spend lots of quality time with you, lots of input into your life, lots of teaching, lots of training. That's not what it means. What did Elisha do in order to have Elijah as a mentor? Does anyone know? He became a servant. Yeah, spent time together. But he said, can I be your servant? He'll follow along. You need water, I'll give you water. I'll go run an errand for you. I'll do whatever you need me to do. And he knew it was important and he knew that it was valuable, because as he hung around with Elijah, you know what happened to him? Some of Elijah's anointing, prophetic anointing, spilled off on him. Have you ever noticed, if you want to prophesy some more, one of the best ways to do it is you hang around somebody that's very prophetic already. Have you noticed if someone very prophetic comes and they're teaching here or preaching, and you all of a sudden, a lot of people are getting released with prophetic words, and the prophetic is really stirred up, isn't it? Hang around someone with the kind of anointing that you want. But as I said, don't expect to just for them to give to you. You come with the attitude, I want to serve you. Anything I can do for you. And from that, you'll have an overflow of that anointing that you will pick up as well. Now, I'm going to talk about this transference. That's why we call things catch the fire or spread the fire. It is catchy. It's like wildfire, isn't it? There's an impartation that happens. That's why hundreds, thousands of people have come to our church, the main campus, haven't they? Thousands and thousands of people have come, especially pastors. But why have they come? They've come because they found out it was transferable. You come and you catch that anointing and you take it back home with you. So it's catch the fire or spread the fire. All these expressions that have happened because of this impartation that happens. Well, the 12 received an impartation from Jesus, didn't they? And then it said that he gave it to the 72 elders and sent 72 and sent them out. Well, the same thing happened in the Old Testament with Moses. Now, often we know numbers mean very prophetic things. Colors mean things in Scripture. There are a lot of prophetic words and meanings. And there's things in the Old Testament that were foreshadowing of what was going to come when Jesus came, weren't there? And all leading up to the time when Jesus would come. So here's something else again, something in the natural representing something in the supernatural. Moses, how many tribes of Israel did he have? 12, okay. And how many, if he had one leader over each, how many leaders does he have now? 12, right? Okay, so he started with 12, just like how many did Jesus have? 12, right? 12 is a number for authority and for government, right? So he has 12 tribes of Israel and 12 leaders. But then, again, even with Moses, he multiplied them. He had 72 elders. How many did Jesus send out? He sent out 72 after the 12, didn't he? Moses was a foreshadowing of that coming. So let's look at what happened with Moses in, where's the scripture? Numbers 11, verses 24 and 25. It says that Moses took of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. He put it on them. Now, I want to mention something. He put it on 70 elders. How many elders did I originally say he had? There were two of them. They were outside the camp that day. You know what happened to them when Moses took the spirit that was on him, put it on the 72 elders? The Holy Spirit landed upon them. It also hit the other two that were outside the camp, even though they weren't even present. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? And so everything that God says will be fulfilled completely. So isn't that interesting, though, that he took of the spirit that was on him and put it on them? Well, how does that happen? How do you put it on another person? Well, in the book of Acts, Peter and John found out. What did they do? Laid hands on people. That's why we lay hands on people. That's why when we're praying for each other, we put a hand upon someone. Because when you do that, the power of the Holy Spirit flows from you to that person, doesn't it? Okay, so through the laying on of hands, that there's an impartation of the Holy Spirit. And it says then that when Peter and John did that, the people were filled with the Holy Spirit. So much so there was so much that happened as a result. It was so powerful that there was a man named Simon who had been a sorcerer who actually became a Christian. And he saw real power, didn't he? It was so powerful. He said, can you help me to have that kind of power? I'll pay you lots of money to give it to me. Is that how we get it? No, in fact, they really rebuked him, and he would not be allowed to have that power as a result. Again, his heart turned the wrong way. Wrong motivation of the heart. You know, what would he do with it if he had it? That'd be scary, wouldn't it, if his heart wasn't right? And so he didn't receive it. But there is this such a powerful thing that happens when the Holy Spirit flows from us. No wonder things happen. Well, another principle with Elisha is that he had to pursue it. Remember, he was told, he said, I want double the anointing. I want the mantle that Elijah has. And he was told then, if you want that anointing, then you have to be there at the moment that Elijah is taken from the earth to go and be with the Lord. And if you're there right at that moment, then you'll receive that mantle. Well, so you can imagine Elisha, he was hanging on real tight. He wasn't going to go anywhere else. He was hanging on. And wherever Elijah went, he went with him too. And you know, there's a scripture that says that Elijah said, I want you to go and do this errand for me. And he said, no way. I'm not going. I'm sticking with you. You know, because he knew how important that was. He had to pursue it. We have to pursue it. We have to pursue the anointing. We have to want. How badly do you want it? How badly do you want it? Do you want the empowering of the Holy Spirit in your life? You know, with John Arnott, our senior pastor, when before God started to pour out in such power in our church, that he went down to Argentina, and Claudio Friesen prayed for him. And he was standing in a line, and he had his hands out like this to receive from this anointing from Claudio Friesen. Claudio Friesen was praying for people and went along the line, and he, you know, touched John in the hands. He went, just put out your hands for me, Alex. Just put his hand on him and then walk by, and he stopped. He turned back to John. He said, do you want it? John was stunned and said, yeah, I really want it. And then he said, then take it. And John was down like a sack of potatoes on the floor. And if you know John, he's only gone down maybe a handful of times under the power of the Holy Spirit. But that was one of those times. But he realized that God was challenging him, saying, do you really want this? You have to pursue it and desire God. We have to press into him. Like when you come into worship, do we come in and just say, oh, maybe if I feel like it today, then maybe I'll give God my love. If I feel like it, maybe I'll get some prayer. If I feel like it, I'll sort of enter it. No. Do you want it? Do you come in on a Sunday morning and say, I want so much more of God? Like the song, you are all I want. You are all I need. I am so desperate for you. You know, God keeps reminding us, be hungry, be desperate, pursue him. We need to pursue that anointing if we really want it, if we want to move in the power of the kingdom. Why does God want us to pursue it? Have you ever thought about that? Why does he want us to pursue it? Yeah, you value what you really want. Yeah, your heart issue. It's not for God's sake, is it? No. He does it because he wants us to really want it and desire it because of what it does in our hearts. We go after it. You know, if we really, you know, go for the kingdom, if we just go for, you know, for loving him with all our hearts, worshiping him with all our hearts, if we do that, we have to make an act of our will to do it, don't we? Say, yes, I want it. Yes, I want to pursue it. See, he puts passion for him in our hearts. I believe that's a supernatural thing of passion burning in our heart. But he says to you, do you want it? Do you desire it? And when we pursue him, it says, seek after my kingdom. Seek after him with all your heart. So if you seek after him like that, you will be found by him. He wants us to pursue him. Well, it's something like, you know, a little two-year-old, if, you know, a two-year-old with his dad, playing with his dad. And his dad might be saying, you know, come catch me, come catch me. How fast is the dad running? Not very fast, real slow. Why? Because he wants to get caught, right? And then when his son catches him, oh, you caught me. It's almost like that with God. You know, God's saying, come on after me, come on. If you feel like God's been very far away from you, you kind of feel, you know, dry and he's far away, he's just saying, come on, come catch me. Come pursue me. You know, do you want me? Do you want me? It's for our sake, isn't it? For us to realize we're hungry, we're desperate, we're passionate. We want Him. We want more of Him. And we want more of that kingdom of God. And if you pursue that anointing like that, you say, yes, I want the power of God. I desire it. God, I really do. I really want to move in this. So that He knows that when He gives it to you, you're going to run with it. You're going to value it. You're going to treasure it. And you're going to do what He wants you to do with it because your heart is right and your heart is burning with that fire of the Holy Spirit in you to do what He wants you to do. He will anoint you with the Holy Spirit and with that fire in your heart to run with the things and pursue the things that He has for you. But He wants us to know, wants to know that we really desire that. All right, so there are a couple of things that will affect how much anointing you receive. That, as I said, through that laying on of hands, there's one verse I'm still looking for here. That, here it is, the one about the laying on of hands. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. So you already have a gift in you, don't you? There's a calling over your life. There's a gifting He's given to you. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. When we lay hands on each other and we pray for each other, we're helping to stir up that gifting that's within each other. And the Holy Spirit within me, you know, comes out from me and touches you, and you reach out and touch someone else. In fact, I want to do this little example. Can you just stand up just for a second? This is going to be a demonstration of what happens. Now, I want each of you to just hold out a finger like this, just like this is your, you know, this song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? This is your little candle you're going to let shine, all right? So you've got your little candle you're holding up. Now, right now, it's not lit, okay? We're pretending it's not lit right at the moment. But Alex has a light on the end of her candle that's already lit, all right? Now, what's going to happen is, Alex is going to turn around and she's going to light someone else's candle. And then she's going to turn and light someone else's candle. She's going to keep going. But as soon as someone comes and lights your candle, then I want you to turn and find someone else that whose candle's not lit yet. But what we're going to do is we're going to do it like this. Hold your candle way up high. And as soon as your candle is lit, I want you to put your hand down, except other than to light someone else's candle. All right? I want to see how fast it goes when all the hands are down. All right? Now, we're going to start with Alex. Alex, can you go and light someone's candle? Now, John, you're going to go light someone else's candle, and so are you. You're both going to go and light a candle. And then you go and light someone else's candle. Let's go and light candles. As soon as you get it, your hand goes down, you go and light someone else's candle. And we're just going to see how long this takes before all the hands are down. Yes. Okay. We got a couple more hands at the back. All the hands are down now. Okay. Now, that didn't take very long at all, did it? That's what happens when the light of God that's in you, you touch someone else that's around you. That person touches someone else around them. And before you know it, the whole world is going to be on fire for God. The kingdom of God will be spread. All right. Now, I'm just wrapping this up with these three things that will affect the anointing that's on you. You can keep standing because we're going to keep going to ministry in this. The amount of anointing that gets transferred is going to really depend on three things. One is the degree of the anointing on the person, the mentor, or the person that is imparting to you. The second one is how receptive that person is. Like, do you want it? Are you receiving it? And when you're receptive, that will also, the amount of receptivity you have will depend on how much you're going to receive from it. And the third one is just the providence of God. God has a certain call over your life, and He's going to anoint you and empower you for the things that you're called of. And that is the most important one, is what God decides and how He's going to use you. And so what we want to do is we want to pray for people today. And for that impartation, just like with that candle, to pray and empower people through the laying on of hands. You want it. Yeah, you want it. And we want to do that. Alex and John, can you just bring forward your cell leaders, the leaders that you have, and just to come up to the front? OK, Okay, also if someone can pull this back for me, pull it out of the way, maybe we'll be there. Thank you. Do you want to go home more filled up with the Holy Spirit today?
Honey.
You want to spread the love of the kingdom of God, the love of the Father to those that are around you. You want to do it through the power and authority that's been given you in the Holy Spirit. Not
come
through your own effort. But what we're going to do is just, these are the leaders here, or you still have a couple more?
Jose as well.
Okay. Can we have a couple of people stand behind them as well?
Yes.
Couple of catchers call, to stand behind.
John, can you come for catch? Do you have a call?
Well, we want them to lay hands on you, but in order for them to lay hands on you, they have to receive something first, right?
Daniel, can you come?
You receive and then you can give it away.
We
just want to impart to them first. Jeremy, can you even just help me for a minute? Just pray for the leaders here first, for a second, and then he's going to play the guitar after that. But we just say, Holy Spirit, we ask for you to come and anoint us and empower us today, again, for all the things you've called us to do. We want to go full of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we just ask for the oil and anointing of your wonderful Holy Spirit to fall again today. Give an infusion again of your wonderful empowering of the power of your Holy Spirit that comes upon us. Just anoint you in the name and authority of Jesus. Whoa. With the power of God upon you. Whoa. Whoa. Yes, Lord. Whoa. Holy Spirit, come. Power of God, come and flow through us. Whoa. An impartation again. Whoa. Of power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us in power and anointing. Whoa. Again, just receive it from him. Take it and receive it. Receive it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Whoa. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Whoa. Whoa. Shoo. Anointing, empowering by the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. Whoa, whoa, just pour it out, Holy Spirit. An anointing of your presence, of your empowering, we receive from you right now, Holy Spirit. Whoa, just take it, Joe. Whoa, 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 shoo, take it, take it, take it. Whoa, an infusion of the Holy Spirit we receive again today. Whoa. By the power that you give upon us, Lord, let that flow up and land upon us and then flow out from us by the power of your wonderful Holy Spirit. Whoa, by the power of the Spirit on us, Lord. Whoa, your anointing and your empowering. Deeper, take it, take it, take it, take it. Whoa, take it. Whoa, let's keep taking it, John, take it. Whoa, 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 take it. Whoa, whoa. Pour into him, Lord. And it's overflowing. It's starting to bubble over. I can hear it. Whoa! Just receive that anointing. Whoa! The Holy Spirit in you. Whoa! Pouring it into us, Holy Spirit. Yes. Whoa. Whoa. Okay. when they can get up, then the leaders, we just want you to come forward here. And we want to invite other people to come up and receive that anointing. That they have, that they want to give away to you. We're going to light some candles here so you can go home filled up and empowered again by the Holy Spirit. So we just invite you to come up for some ministry. And if they're still receiving, they can receive for a couple more minutes yet. Do you want it?
I want it.
How badly do you want it? Whoa! Whoa! Take it! Take it! Take it! Take it! Whoa! 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 Take it! Take it! By the power of the Holy Spirit on you! Take it! Take it! Whoa! Take it! Whoa! Sweet thing. Just come up for it. All of the ministry team, they've all received the same anointing. You can take it from them. Whoa! They'll pray for you. Come by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whoa! Whoa! Holy Spirit, flow. You're empowered. Shoo. Power of the wonderful Holy Spirit. Filling. 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 Shoo. Take it. Take it. Shoo. Whoa. Whoa. So we need a couple more catchers. If some people will stand behind the people who are getting prayed for. Whoa. We have a couple more people to that. Whoa. Yes, you want it. All right. So, you want it. Then take it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let it flow. Let it flow, Lord. Your presence and power. Flow, Spirit. The fullness of God. Just receive that anointing. Yes, let it flow from through Bob, Lord. Let it flow. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow. Whoa. As the anointing comes upon us, Lord, let it flow out from us. Whoa. Let it touch those that we're laying hands on, Lord. We fan into flame. Whoa. Fan into flame. Whoa. The gift that's within us, Lord. Fan into flame. Yeah, fan into flame. Fan into flame. Whoa, 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 whoa. Choo, choo, choo. Whoa. Choo, choo, choo. Whoa, whoa. Yes, sir. Whoa. Yes, sir. Whoa. Yeah, just keep coming up. Find any space that's up here. And, yes, sir. Whoa. Just receive it. Anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit for you. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Take it. Take it. Take it. His anointing for you. His empowering. Yes. He's empowering you to love. He's empowering you to love. And his love. Not your own, but his love. Whoa. 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 Yes, Lord. More love. Your power. Yes, Lord. The power of your Holy Spirit on us, Lord. Whoa. Sure. Yes, Lord. Whoa. Whoa. Yes, just receive an impartation from Him. Holy Spirit, just pour out upon her. I just see Him just pouring. It's like a well. It's just dripping down all over you. He just pours it out upon you. Just receive the oil, the anointing of His wonderful Holy Spirit over you. It just pours out and drips all over you. Whoa, just receive it. Receive. Whoa, whoa, it's being poured out on you. Whoa, yes, Lord. Receive that anointing. Wonderful oil. It's like healing oil. Healing oil. That the love He gives you is going to be like healing oil for people and bring healing to their hearts. Whoa. Let it pour out all over you. Fill you. Fill you. Fill you. His oil. His love. His anointing. Whoa. Whoa. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.